Good morning. All right. We'll go ahead and get started. I want to try to keep us on pace with our time that we have. All righty. Who in here has heard of C12 group? Okay, several. Who has heard of peer advisory? That concept, peer advisory. Okay. Think about professionals that gather for the purpose of sharpening and encouraging and sometimes confronting one another with purpose. C12 is the largest Christian faith-based peer advisory and coaching organization in the country. So this would be in the same space as your Vistage, EO, YPO, those types of organizations, but uniquely faith-based. So my name is Andrew Finney. I'm a chair with the C12 group of Middle Tennessee. So we're a franchise, if you will, of our HQ, which is based in San Antonio. So there are 10 of me in Middle Tennessee. We have several in here that are actually members of our CEO groups and some former members as well with our key player groups as well. So I have the privilege to help equip Christian CEOs to build great businesses for a greater purpose. That's what I do. So I have just a short slide deck that I want to share with you about generations in the workplace, and then we have a panel of representative generations that we're going to have a Q&A briefly with. So we'll go ahead and get started. What I like to do when we meet for our C12 groups each month, we go through a curriculum. And so this is mainly based from a curriculum we had last year on this topic. So it was very, very timely when David asked me about talking about generations in the workplace. So we always start with objectives. I like to tell you what we're going to learn. So we're going to learn the characteristics of all the major generations in the workforce today. We'll talk about how to create a workplace that engages all generations, how to engage the team members that you have that the Lord brings to your business and in your organization. Then we'll hear from a panel of representative generations. So sound good? All right, let's go. The Bible says in 1 Peter, come back here, there we go. In 1 Peter it says, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being an example to the flock. So we would say this is a direct encouragement and really an opportunity and responsibility for us as leaders to shepherd well those that God brings in our organizations. Just show of hands, who has had a challenge before with another generation, not in yours, in the workplace? Right? Okay. This is a quick video I want to share with you. This is David Kinnaman, the Barna Group. Are you familiar with the Barna Group? So David Kinnaman was a speaker at Current 23. That was a couple of years ago, which is, Current is the largest gathering of Christian CEOs and owners in the world. I'm going to share that with you in just a moment. But this was just a quick excerpt that he did that he spoke on 2 years ago.
God didn't make you a leader to do easy things. He made you a leader to do the hard things. And as you think about working across generations, this is an incredible opportunity for you to see and know and to find contributors with and among this younger generation. So I've got three perspectives for you and five practical insights. That's where we're headed today. The three perspectives are going to start with this. Number one, I believe that helping people to find their purpose is a big opportunity in our workplace. This is for Christian-owned businesses, for Christian entrepreneurs, a huge opportunity for us to shape a conversation that people really care about. People want to be seen and known, and they want to be able to contribute to your ministry, to your organization, to what it is that you do. And by the way, it doesn't matter what it is you do, whether you're working in tech and computers, in law, in construction, the trades, all of this matters, and we can help people understand the purpose that God has put them on earth to do. So what if the millennials and Gen Zers on your team could say that they learned who they were because of your leadership, because of your company? That's my challenge to you. That is the great opportunity. This, for those of us who believe in the life and the death and resurrection of Jesus, I believe God has put you as an entrepreneur on earth in part to help other people figure out their purpose and to help other people figure out how work is actually God's gift to us. Yes, it has a curse. Yes, there are challenges in work. Yes, there are problems that have to be solved. But God has designed work to create beauty and abundance and order and opportunities. And whatever it is, your industry, you can define your purpose in a sense of a higher calling, that we exist to help people have, you know, beautiful landscaping. We exist to make sure the spreadsheets are orderly and in line and IRS friendly, right? Like, whatever it is that we do, we have a higher purpose in the work that we do.
Pardon me. So I wanted to share this briefly. We every other year it's a biennial conference called Current. It's the largest gathering Christian CEOs and owners in the world. This year, it's in Grapevine, Texas, at the Gaylord Texan. You do not have to be a member to come to this. It is unbelievable. Who's been to conferences in the past? Business conferences. Have you ever been to one that opens with praise and worship? With business leaders? It's incredible. A room full of business leaders raising their hands in worship to the Lord. And Patrick Lencioni's going to be there in person. Jordan Rayner's going to be there in person. The keynote speakers are phenomenal. The breakout speakers are terrific. Many are from their C12 members from the C12 ecosystem. So you do not have to be a member if you would like to go. There are still some opportunities for us. So I do want to make that available because it's a fantastic gathering. April 23rd through the 25th, just outside of Dallas. If you need any more information about that, feel free to ask me afterwards. So just real quick, just question. This is going to be participatory, so interact. What are the differences between how you want to work, how your parents worked, and then how your children want to work?
In on what they need to be doing.
It's never a point of frustration, is it?
No.
Never. No. Who else?
Yeah, I think that in limited sample size, obviously, you know, we all draw upon our experience. But like with my kids, what I noticed, so my generation, Gen X, like we had computing and tools to get our work done, but I don't really want to get like into the, I don't want to know how it works behind the scenes. Like whereas my kids are into coding. Like they're actually the ones wanting to like design the tech and like, you know, at least from a simple sense. So I think that's a huge shift in a positive thing for the younger generation. Like they don't want to just use a tool, they want to create a tool.
Yeah. That's good. It's a significant difference.
I think a big thing that I think
Yeah. Very much so. Let me ask one other question real quick. How do you think your generation's view of work has impacted employers? Your generation has impacted employers. Yeah, one more.
I think our generation, we found somebody to follow. You know, you kind of got on somebody's track and you ran with them. And I love what he just said. Their track is, I want to be there already. We had to actually support people.
Yeah, very, very entrepreneurial. So let's just talk about this real quick. I've got a graphic I want to share with you. This is a representation of the workplace as we know it right now. Traditionalists, not many of these. This is the greatest generation. That there are not many in the workforce anymore. Really the bottom four, the second, third, fourth, and fifth are the representatives. So baby boomers, and you've got, there's some soft edges to those dates. Generation X, I'm on the tail end of that. I would be considered a cusper. I'm right on the edge of Gen X. I definitely identify as Gen X, though. When we're working out, they better be playing 80s, right? Millennials, 81 to 96, and then Gen Z, 97 to 2012. All of my three boys fall into Gen Z. So, according to demographers, there are four major generations in the workplace today. Each one has different characteristics, motivations, and worldviews. So let's consider some common characteristics of each generation, including events that have shaped the worldviews, their worldviews, and the different ways employers can engage them at work. So baby boomers, I'm not going to read this slide. I just want you to look at it for a moment. If you want to take a picture, you're welcome to. But I'm going to leave it up there. I will call out some characteristics that are unique to baby boomers. Very optimistic. They're competitive. They're workaholics, right? They watch their parents come through the Depression, come through World War II in many cases. And so scarcity, right? I have to go to work because I have to put food on the table. The lights have to be on. So it just creates this mindset, a very team-oriented. Look at that statistic about how many retire every day. By the way, this is a wonderful time for Gen Z who are very entrepreneurial and boomers, right, baby boomers, who are hitting this every day, 10,000 every day. There are lots of amazing businesses that are going to come available, and you've got this generation. So think about how neat that is, this opportunity that's created just for entrepreneurship and business. Generation X, oh, let me ask a question real quick. How many baby boomers are in the room? Okay, five or six. What characteristics do you most identify with from that slide? Yeah. Okay. Let's go to Gen X. Look at this one, and just look at some of the ways that they have been shaped by the different world events. These are heavily skeptical, independent, flexible, somewhat informal. By 2028, Gen Xers will outnumber baby boomers in the workplace. 3 years. How many Gen Xers do we have in the room? Yeah. What characteristics do you most identify with from this slide? What's going to be critical is, as you think about this in leadership, leading these in a way that is effective, that mirrors up and matches up to their skill set, their ability, their ideals. How many millennials in the room? Okay, great. Highly competitive, very open-minded and civic, very achievement-oriented. 75% of the global workforce will consist of millennials by 2025, this year. 75%. What characteristics do you all that are millennials in the room identify with most in this slide? All right, Gen Z. This one's really interesting. So 97 to 2012, very entrepreneurial, just like you talked about, progressive, maybe less focused, very global-minded, motivated by diversity, personalization, individuality, and creativity. 40% of Gen Zers want to interact with their boss daily or several times during the day. What do you all most identify with that are Gen Z in the room with this slide? Okay.
That they are not, or that they are?
That I am.
Okay.
I would say personalization. Definitely interact with my boss.
Yeah, right. So wise business leaders intentionally maximize the benefits of multi-generational workplace. One that embraces the gifts and talents of all employees, no matter their age. As the baby boomer generation retires, honor their contributions by asking them to mentor younger employees. Also, now's the time to invest in leadership development, promotional opportunities for Gen X and older millennials who will be called upon to fill the leadership void. It's here. We have to engage. So just briefly, and as we think about engagement, shift towards engagement, so we've discussed the characteristics. What does engagement look like? Well, this is how we would describe engagement, a human resource concept that describes the level of involvement and enthusiasm that employees have toward their work and their workplace. Employee engagement metrics measure employees' perspectives on workplace culture. So this is pretty revealing, staggering. So the state of engagement in the United States, 3 out of 10, 32%. This is up. This is down, rather, from 36%. 3 out of 10 are engaged. 3 out of 10 in your workplace are engaged. 50% are neutral. They're just not even rowing. They're just there. This one's actually increased over the same time period. This is from 2021 till current. 16 to 18% are disengaged or actively disengaged. So with that, what are different generations seeking? So I'm not going to go through the numbers, but just let that soak in. While engagement numbers vary only slightly by generation, there are some distinct generational trends. Younger generations are more fulfilled in jobs that offer career development, remote work, diverse workplaces, and work-life balance. Older generations are more engaged when their jobs offer security and affiliation with a top brand. Younger workers are looking for employers that provide life-giving work. They want it to matter. along with flexibility and opportunities for growth. They place a high value on authenticity. If we ignore deeply rooted issues in our companies, we'll struggle to attract and retain next generation workers. Who's found it difficult to retain team members, especially in the last few years? It's one of the biggest issues that has plagued the workforce. You know, somebody that's willing to go somewhere for a myriad of reasons. But if you ignore this piece of it, I think the emotional intelligence of the leader and willingness to engage is critical. How do you measure employee engagement at your company? Just briefly, somebody. What do you think about the differences between younger and older generations? What do you think they're looking for in the workplace, the differences between the two? What are they looking for?
I'd probably say my generation would be fulfill your meaning, like find your calling, and
A lot of purpose. Thing generally, idea around purpose. Yeah, definitely.
Stability versus a high drive for growth. The older generation is stable, they want to be stable and not take a lot of risk in the opportunities that come up, versus the younger generation wants to make sure that the company is growing and has a clear trajectory for
more. Okay. Yeah. Based on the data, what challenges do you see in your in engaging younger and older employees at your company? What challenges do you see?
I think older employees want stability and something that is dependable and consistent. And I think younger employees want a little bit more creativity and movement. And it's almost like the line is always needing to be moved to keep them engaged.
Well, I've got several people that I've invited, and I would like to invite y'all to come up. So these are our panelists for a few questions that I want to share. So Carrie Kratz, Bethany Neff, Cameron Kuntz, and Owen Blevins. So you guys just come on and grab a seat here. So what I want to do is transition to a brief panel discussion. I've got some questions that I've asked them to think about. So if you guys would give just a brief bio about you, your company, your role, your generation, and maybe about your family, just briefly. Ladies first.
Okay. Hey, I'm Bethany Neff. I'm representing Gen X. Let's hear it for Gen X. Yep. Gen X brings the party in the room. I work for Ascension Medical Group. I lead a team of 21 or so interdisciplinary nurses, social workers, some non-clinical folks, and it's fully remote, which it provides its own set of challenges.
Yep, I am Owen Blevins, representing Gen Z, originally from Huntsville, Alabama, been up here for the last 2 years, work for a small software development company. We do primarily defense contracts, and I'm the program finance analyst over a majority of those contracts.
Great. My name is Cameron Kuntz. I represent Millennial. Personally, I'm born and raised in Nashville, Tennessee, so I'm the unicorn that you hear about every once in a while. I married my high school sweetheart. We've been together for a while. We have two boys. Professionally, I work at RJ Young with this guy over here. I'm the VP of marketing and customer experience. Been there for about 2 years.
Yeah. I'm Kerry Kratz. My responsibility is the people and culture at RJ Young. I've been there for 25 years. My background is in sales, major account sales management, those kinds of things. So I've been around the sales world, and I still do a lot of that training. My wife and I, Dana, have been married 32 years this October. We live in Hendersonville. We have two adult children. I have, it's kind of funny, I've got a millennial, I've got an X, and as of August of 2000, we adopted a young man. So I have a 9-year-old son at my old age in life. So Sarah and Abraham and I and Dana have something in common. So I'm an open book. That's a little bit about who I am. Thank you for letting us be here.
Thank you, Carrie. Thank you. So Carrie, Cameron, Owen, Bethany. So if you have questions or want to engage. So here's the first question I want to put out. And you guys can do popcorn style. There's no order to it. If you feel led, then respond. So the first one, which generations are the most represented in your workplace? Maybe go down and just share briefly on that. Which are the least represented in your workplace? Which ones are the most difficult to recruit and why?
I cheated. I got some of the folks that work with me to pull that information. We're pretty spot on with the data that was here earlier. There's 680 employees at RJ Young in 32 locations over 9 states, still independently owned and operated, so our world's a little bit different from that standpoint. But we've got about 75% of our employees are in that middle bracket. Our chairman of the board is still in that silent generation, which is kind of cool. He was in the office yesterday. He's not very involved, but that number, the statistics there. And then Gen Z as well as the boomers, they make up that 16% and then that 11%. So we're spot on with what the demographic was there.
Yeah, it's interesting. So I'm on the leadership team at RJ Young, and we have a total of 9 people on our team. 6 of those are millennial. And then on my team for the marketing, so I have marketing and customer care. On marketing side, we have a team of 6, and 3 of those are millennial. So that is basically that speaking directly into the data that you presented.
Yeah.
Being in software development, it's a little bit different. We are majority millennial, so we're about 75% millennials in my office. Of that last 25%, about 20 is Gen X, and then I think I'm one of like 3 Gen Z, so I'm very underrepresented in my workplace, actually.
Yeah, so Ascension St. Thomas is huge in Nashville, so I don't actually know, but my guess is anecdotally, both from when I'm at larger meetings and participate in various things, and then also on my own team, it very much mirrors statistically. I don't think I have any Gen Zers. Definitely have a healthy blend of millennials, a few boomers, and X.
Can you, maybe one or two of you, just share which ones are the most difficult to recruit and why?
I'll take a stab at it. I've recruited one. I'll call him a Zillennial. He was born in 96, so he's right on that bracket there. But I think the most difficult for us would be, like, we're not going to go out and recruit typically the boomers just because they're phasing out of the technology. So that would probably be the most difficult for us to recruit.
You keep looking at me like I'm supposed to talk, am I?
I mean, you're the people and culture. Yoda.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I think there's a couple of things that I think about there. I'm going to make a statement that I learned years ago. There's no bad relationships in life, just an undetermined amount of energy required to maintain it. And when you can hang your hat on that for just a second, no matter whether you're a boomer or you're an X or you've got... You're who you are, and it's easy to hang out with the cool kids, no matter what generation you're in, okay? So going beyond that, I think, is the big challenge. I coach our folks constantly. I shared my personal story a little bit there. I'm in a world where I get a lot of mentoring from young folks, and I think that's important for me to stay young and for me to do the things that I need to do. But bridging that gap basically says we've got to listen to our audience because our audience brings all the value. Whatever that is. I thought Owen's statement was spot on. There are some boomers that I think are very intellectual when it comes to the technology component of things, and they want to grow. Now, the question is can that gap be bridged between those individuals, those generations? But it comes down to the person.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting, too. The millennial is almost becoming that bridge between the old and the young. So we've kind of been there in the middle. So it's been interesting for me to experience that personally of, you know, I really relate to Carrie, but I also really relate to those on my team who are Gen Z. So it's kind of been, I've kind of been that bridge between both those generations.
That's good. Next question. Which generation is the easiest for you to lead? Which is the most challenging and why?
For me, I honestly don't know that one is easier than the other. It felt very validating, a lot of what you presented earlier. One of the interesting things that I have discovered, it is very true on my team that my younger millennials, and maybe a couple of them might be on the edge of Gen Z, definitely enjoy and want the independence and autonomy while also wanting frequent touches. Like frequent, a lot of FaceTime, which I just think is really interesting. They're constantly voicing, and again, we're all remote, so it's much harder to do that. But they're regularly voicing, needing more frequent check-ins, almost daily, which is while also saying, man, I love being independent and autonomous. Okay. but then those that are older can go longer but need more validation in the work itself, which is also, as a leader, you expend a lot of energy making sure someone is feeling validated, appreciated, all of that sort of thing. So they both, for me, both present challenges and just kind of understanding, all right, for this person, I need to be more present. They don't need as much validation and appreciation, but they need FaceTime, and this person can go without hearing from me, but when they do hear from me, they want to get encouraged, they want to feel validated, you know, talk specifically about how I'm doing, you know, that sort of thing.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think for me, I mostly relate to Gen X and Baby Boomer. I think it just feels like an easier transition for me. I will say the Gen Z, it's interesting, like the Gen Zers on my team, they're more reserved. It depends on the day, too, of how outgoing or how personable they want to be. But at the same time, they want to be recognized. Mm-hmm. They want to have that high impact. I think someone said back here, they want those high impact things. So I actually really appreciate that about Gen Z. They're hungry to jump in there and do the work, but they also are more reserved. And so it's kind of hard to navigate. It's almost like, depending on the day, how they are, you know?
Yeah. You know, I think also it depends on how these folks want to communicate. That's one of the big challenges. And a couple of things I think about there is the boomers, the guys and girls that I can meet and know at the water cooler and those kinds of things. They've got an assignment. They've got a job to do. They'll go do it, kind of a deal. I made a phone call this week to wish someone a happy birthday. I'd just gotten back from lunch with my team because we had a young lady on the team that was her birthday. And I made a phone call. And when I hung the phone up, set the phone in the cradle. I was going to age myself for a little bit. When I hung the phone up, I realized that I should have texted this person instead of calling this person. I've not heard a response back yet. Now, that's okay. That's not on them. That's on me. So the energy that's required to meet people where they are is incredible. And making mistakes can happen that fast. And it's not intended to be a mistake. Thank goodness I'm going to get to see this person next week or this coming week when they come into town. And I'm going to apologize to say, I think I did you a disjustice by leaving you a phone message when I should have texted you and I would have gotten a response that quick. So I think that's probably...
Who's ever struggled with communication preference or style? Yeah. I think about... this is my sister in the audience. I think about our dad. He has a flip phone. He does not text, and we've tried. And I think, Dad, you're missing out on a lot of family engagement because of the communication style. But think about what's needed to be able to assess and accurately communicate, right? The problem with communication is the assumption that's already occurred. And so think about what's required just to assess, is the message getting through? That's really important. I appreciate that. Anybody else want to comment on who's easier or most challenging to lead for you?
I think I was the only one that didn't comment on it. I really like what Bethany was saying about it really depends on the individual person, right? So on my team, I'm not the leader by any means, but I can still observe the leadership style and what's going on with the individuals on the team. We have two that were born 3 months apart from each other, and so they would you would presume have the same generational characteristics, but like their communication style, the feedback that they need is very different. So one can go 2 to 3 weeks without hearing from our manager, be perfectly fine, crushing her work. The other one is gonna like pick up the phone and call our manager as soon as she gets an email and be like, hey, I saw this email come through and I need help responding to this, this, and this. And so it really is individually driven. But then I think from the most challenging to lead, I'll be honest, it's probably my generation, because it really depends on the day. Like there may be a day where I come into the office and very open to communication, to talking, to feedback, or there may be another day where it's like, hey, I didn't get enough coffee this morning. I just want to be heads down, knock my stuff out, and not be bothered. So,
yeah. Yeah, and then you layer on the nuanced aspect of predictive analytics, everything from DISC to the 6 types of working genius, the Enneagram, all these things that you layer on top of just what's actually going on and shaped and developed these people. It's really challenging. It's really challenging, especially from a position of leadership, to be able to effectively engage your people. But I think servant leadership, right, the kind that Jesus led with, would have us do that. It would compel us to pull back and say, what is best for them? You know, not just there's a nail, here's a hammer. We're going to do it that way. I think it used to work, maybe. I don't think it works anymore. So I think it's incumbent on us to recognize these differences. How do the traits of people from different generations differ from the traits you value as a leader?
I'll jump in. I'm always reminded that when you start that interviewing process, when you spend time in the interviewing process, and when you just meet someone for the first time and you engage with someone for the first time, to sell John Brown what John Brown buys, one must sell John Brown through John Brown's eyes. And it's one of those things where I've got to put forth the effort to understand who somebody really is, because their past behavior is going to be the best prediction of their future results. And in meeting an individual where they are, I get to have an opportunity to walk side by side with them. If I'm above them or I'm behind them, I'm either a shepherd and I'm leading, or I'm a cowboy behind them and I'm pushing them. And most people don't want to be pushed. They want to lead me. So to me, I will always, and I've kind of gotten off the question, I think, here just a little bit, but I will always try to meet people where they are. Because at the end of the day, that's my responsibility. If they're going to share their story, if they're going to let me get beyond the surface, I've got to be where they are, not where I am. And I think that's always a challenge, because that requires a lot of energy, and so often it requires a lot of time, you know.
Yeah, that's good.
What I'm reminded of constantly, too, you know, leadership is not a one-size-fits-all thing. Like, if you're trying to lead a group of people who are drastically different from generations to personalities to all these things, you're going to epically fail. So you need to understand, to kind of piggyback off what Carrie said, know those individuals, know how they operate, know how they tick, know how they communicate, and then lead them in that way to make the, you know, the best version of themselves.
That's great. So traits of people from different generations differ from the traits you value.
So for me, I deeply value honesty and transparency. And so with my older associates, I think, thinking of a few in particular, they can get so hung up on performance and that competitiveness and the stability of the job, all of those things we talked about. So if I notice things are starting to slip, I just want to have that honest conversation, what's going on in your life. I also feel very committed to what everyone's been saying, very driven and very committed to meeting people where they are. So my preference would be, I need you to be really honest with me. Like, let's set the work aside. There's something underneath that's happening that's causing this to get off the rails. Don't spin a story about the work when it's really about something else. I need you to be honest with me about what's going on. So that's a challenge. And a similar thing happens with the younger as well. It just can become so quickly about something else. Oh, I don't feel connected. I don't feel like we've lost the mission of, is that really what it is? You know, let's have a really honest conversation so that I can meet you where you are. We can address the underlying issues that will ultimately affect your performance.
I would completely second what Bethany just said there. I was actually down in Florida this last week helping to stand up a new business unit. And a big part of that was defining our mission statement. And so we said, we want to keep it simple. What we came up with was mission first, people always. So we're always going to put that mission at the forefront, because in the type of work that I do, if we lose the mission, people will not survive. But we have to take care of our people as we do that. And a large piece of that people always was just open, honest dialogue throughout the entire mission execution. Because if we lose that open communication, people are going to be disengaged. They're not going to feel involved. They're not going to feel connected to the mission. And ultimately, their work is going to suffer because of that.
Yeah, that's great. One last question, then we'll do some Q&A. So would you share some successes and challenges that you've had in connecting, attracting, and nurturing all generations in the workforce? What initiatives have been effective for you?
I wouldn't necessarily say it's an initiative that our company's put forward, but a success story of trying to engage with, I'm going to say the more mature generation of the baby boomers was, we had some staffing problems in one of our departments, and so we kind of like borrowed a guy from another department who was in a very senior manager position but was willing to meet us where we were to help out. And one of the large challenges was just not understanding the software we were using to set up all of our contracts and everything. And so I was tasked with doing a lot of one-on-one training with that individual. So we set up some Teams calls, got to teach him how to use Teams, how to screen share, and how to walk through our accounting software and how to just input different things. It was very successful. He and I built a great relationship. We still stay in touch, but he's unfortunately retired like right after that project was over. So don't get to talk to him now, but it was a very successful, just instead of trying to force something to work, it was like, hey, let's meet where we're both at and bridge that gap together. So it was really cool.
That's great. Great example.
Probably going to steal your thunder here, but when you are hired at RJ Young, we do a thing called key interviews, and essentially you go and meet different people from different departments, different ages, and I think it's really important just to get out there to see who's the makeup of RJ Young, if you will. And so I think that's really valuable for people that we bring on.
Yeah, I think it is too, and I'll just piggyback that. What it does is it gives every employee in the company an opportunity to spend time with the who's who, and they're invited to do that. There's no walls, there's no barriers, there's nothing like that. So it's just a sit down and just chatter. I had a situation 2 weeks ago that took 2 hours. I would have never thought in a million years that anybody that had been at the company didn't even know where the water cooler was yet, you know, and they ended up with 2 hours of my time, which I applauded at the end because I know that individual inside and out because of that. And it gives us an opportunity to give feedback. So it's our responsibility to make sure that the people are doing the hiring, that they're kind of following the question prior to that, that the fundamentals are together from that standpoint. But it gives us an opportunity then to be able to share with the hiring manager or with others in the company what we see, and we can endorse the people for who they are, not who we want them to be. I think that's a big part of that.
Say that last part again.
I knew you was going to do that. It gives us an opportunity to endorse the people for who they are, not who we want them to be. Now I'll give you the rest of the story, the backstory for that. Years ago, we had a gentleman that was with our company for over 30 years, and he kind of squared me up one day, and he said, you know, Kratz, he said, we got a problem at RJ Young. We hire people for who they are, and we try to turn them into who we want them to be. Let that sink in for just a second, because there's a tendency that happens. You hire someone to go, what a valuable opportunity this is for you, but we want you to be like this. And we did that individual a disjustice. We derailed that individual. I say this when we go through an interviewing process. If we make a hiring mistake, it costs us a lot of money. Let me be real vain for just a second and tell you, I don't care about the money. I've got to be a good steward of what we do here. But if you make a hiring mistake, it will cost you emotions that you can't put a price tag on, because you've been derailed from the job market for a period of time, and it was my fault. So let me own that on the very beginning, so that it's together we try to put you in the spot you need to be in.
That's great.
I didn't mean to steal the floor.
Let me take, unless y'all want to comment on that real quick, I want to do some question and answer. Do you want to comment?
Yeah.
We have just a couple of minutes, but I wanted to give an opportunity for just a quick Q&A, maybe two or three questions at the most. Yes, sir. Everybody hear that? Okay.
So Ascension is extremely intentional about developing leaders and equipping them with the ability to develop active listening, you know, better communication, conflict resolution, all that kind of thing, which was surprising to me in the healthcare industry. Just, it's constantly moving, constantly changing. It's very difficult. and I have always appreciated their intentionality toward their leaders and developing them and in the midst of the healthcare landscape, making sure the leaders are leading well. So I appreciate that. I feel like I have become a better active listener with my team as a result of a lot of that. Unfortunately, what I think doesn't work well, and everyone mentioned it, are surveys. We rely so heavily on surveys, and they have a place, and I get it. And Ascension is also very active in the survey world. We get them all the time, associate surveys, patient surveys, customer experience surveys, all the things. For the employees, I find that they tend to regularly answer with what they think the company wants to hear. Which I'm sure is very common. And I will find out later in these one-on-one conversations, well, really, I feel this way. But, with one conversation in particular I had with someone kind of going through the results, they said, well, I wasn't really sure the wording of the question, and I wanted to make sure you weren't thrown under the bus, because the way I read the question is I'm thinking about it as the company, but not you, and, you know, all the things. Surveys are just super tricky in how the individual interprets the question and what they think they're supposed to answer with, and not a lot of action ever comes out of that. And so then associates are like, oh, here we go again, another survey, and nothing's going to change, and, you know, all of that. So surveys, not a fan. Yeah.
Just one more comment. I don't know if we have enough time for another question, but go right ahead.
I was going to say surveys as well as the downside of things that are pushed down to us. But one thing that was implemented last year that has been super helpful for us is spontaneous one-on-ones. Mm-hmm. So we try to have them once a month. If it gets missed, it's not a big deal. But it really changes the environment and makes it a much more comfortable place for me to share with my manager what's going on. So, like, 2 weeks ago, he was down in Nashville. He and I went and grabbed coffee one morning, sat there for 2 hours, and just discussed my career goals, what he can do to help me get there, some different challenges that I'm facing. He provided some feedback on solutions. It's just so much more engaging than me clicking extremely satisfied or neutral or dissatisfied. And so flowing that from the top down, I think, was a great idea from the company's perspective.
Terrific. Thank y'all both for that. You guys, you want to comment on anything with that?
So,
these folks will be around for a few minutes if you would like to engage with them, but I want to honor the next workshop leader, and so we're going to end. But let me finish with prayer. Father, thank you for this time. I believe, Father, that you're in this, that you called us to leadership in our businesses and our workplaces, Father, for a purpose. God, would you give us the humility as leaders to recognize the differences And God, that you made us different, that you might make us one. Father, help us to engage our teammates at work, our leaders, those that we lead, Father, wisely. Help us to humble ourselves, to recognize those differences and meet them where they are. And God, in all of this, would you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.